This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, final hour of power coming up. Charles Barkley on ESPN's infatuation with the Lakers. Although, if you heard the opening of Stephen A. Smith's show today, does not look like they'll be throwing plenty of bouquets at LeBron James. Linnell would have been so proud because LeBron, the dad, is upset at Stephen A. and First Take's treatment of LeBronny, the kid, who, again, as it's been proven, was not ready to go into the NBA. But he's killing the G League, I hear. He's killing the G League. Okay, whatever. More NFL news before we get anywhere else. The Texans, according to Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports, at Schultz underscore report, have told Shaq Mason, guard, that he is being released, started 15 games this past season. Shaq Mason, I think, has fallen off a little bit since his heyday in New England. He can still help you. Don't be surprised if they poke around in that area. Veteran guard, they probably need somebody just for, you know, for depth. They certainly do. But also maybe to start in case Cosme's not ready. And they ideally, and I think everybody understands this, would be better off having Nick Allegretti as a top reserve than a starter full time. Now, for everybody that says, well, that's easy to fix, put Brandon Coleman at left guard and sign Ronnie Stanley. Are you the same guy that wants to do that, but that doesn't want to touch Trey Hendrickson? Or sign Khalil Mack because of age? Or you're a little bit down on bringing back Zach Ertz or Bobby Wagner because they're over the age of 30? You know, you see where I'm getting at? So the bottom line is, a guy like Mason could come in, certainly play right guard. I'm sure he could play left guard. Could start for you, could be that depth off the bench, veteran. He's been productive. Again, he's fallen off a little bit. Nobody's saying that he hasn't. Started still 15 games last year. Not great, but not bad. Could help you. Just a name to keep in mind. Aaron Banks is a guy that I've mentioned a couple of times. Was with San Francisco, starting left guard, 27. That's also another. And I think he's going to get paid and make more money than ideally the Commanders are going to want to pay. But he was with Adam Peters, whatever that's worth. Jordan Schultz also mentioning, and this is another name that I know I've kind of slept on, Byron Murphy, cornerback, Vikings. Vikings want him back, but they didn't tag him. They haven't gotten a long-term deal done with him. He's going to hit the market, going to be lots of competition. 27 years old, Pro Bowl a year last year, totaled 9 interceptions over the last 2 years in Minnesota. Again, with the questions about Marshawn Lattimore, and he's staying, he's not going, do they need to, and almost surely Benjamin St. Juice not coming back. Michael Davis obviously is not coming back. Sandra Still could be moved back inside. Igbinoghene is a free agent. Do you go? I mean, there's a lot of chatter about, well, DJ Reed from the Jets. DJ Reed's going to cost you probably a 5-year, $100 million deal or something like that. Maybe Byron Murphy costs you, $70 million or something like that. And am I want to double check, but I think he was in Arizona under Cliff. I believe he was. Trying to double check that to make sure that I'm thinking about the same guy. Yeah, he was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals in 2019. So he was with Cliff. Again, Cliff's an offensive coordinator, but again, something to keep in mind. As you go through free agency, which starts really, I mean, it officially starts Wednesday, but we know deals can be hammered out or illegally hammered out on Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, trust me, they all understand. They all understand. So Byron Murphy, again, maybe a little bit too rich, especially because you have $18 million a year to Lattimore, but I mean, listen, who are we kidding here? Let's stop playing tiddlywinks. You got the money. You got the quarterback under contract for at least the next 4 years at a reasonable price. If you want to do an extension, they can do that later on down the line, but they still can't do it for 2 more years. Like, it's time to get aggressive. So there you have that. There you have that. All right, let's get to this. Before we get to Lou, Hendrickson from Cincinnati. Again, I understand he is not the greatest run defender in the world. I understand that he's a little up there in age. Listen, guys, that doesn't mean, like, everybody that wants 26-year-olds entering the prime of their, those guys usually don't get away. Right? If they're really good and they're 25, 26, they usually get locked up, whether it be by a franchise tag like T. Higgins or temporarily a franchise tag like Osi Odighizawa and then a long-term deal with Dallas. You get the point.
It's Zane Luka.
Yes. Definitely. We'll get to that in a sec. But my point being is, everybody wants that. Nobody ideally wants a guy who is 29, 30, maybe on an extension, is going to be a little higher in age, so on and so forth. Okay? I get that everybody wants really good, affordable, and really young. Well, those guys are super hard to find because guess what? Everybody's looking for them. So when you say to me, hey, man, Trey Hendrickson, too old. Why would I want to do that? Because, again, First of all, he was born in 1994, right? He's not 36. Okay? He's not 36. He's not. So when we sit here and say, well, he's too old to make that kind of commitment to, realize this, guys. Again, the 25 and 26-year-old stud that you want, that's not going to just get a huge contract because he's a stud and he's 25 or 26, A, teams don't let those guys go by and large. B, everybody's going to want the same guy. So Trey Hendrickson is 30. He'll be 31 by the time the next football season is starting to wrap up. Again, I threw out a proposed trade. I didn't say this is what I would pay for it. A lot of you guys didn't like it. Fine, whatever. Trey Hendrickson is a damn good football player. But can you figure out your situation at edge / defensive end at a cheaper cost than going all in on Hendrickson and gambling that you're right as he goes into his age 31 season? And again, he'll be 30 for most of it. 31, 32, 33. Yeah, you probably can. Again, even if it's a player that's older, Khalil Mack, or like, let me just pull this up. I'm just curious by this, right? Myles Garrett, which I saw a lot in my comments. First of all, Myles Garrett is not available. Okay? Again, you guys don't read. You guys don't listen. You don't read. Myles Garrett's not available. A, the Browns have told you that over and over and over again, which is not the end-all be-all, because teams lie all the time about that stuff. But Myles Garrett is cost prohibitive for a team that's already still in salary cap hell to trade. I guarantee you the Browns, as dumb of the as an organization as they are, and the latest was the owner, Myles Garrett wanted to meet with the owner. The owner refused, saying he trusts the GM. Well, the owner refused because he doesn't want to look Myles Garrett in the eye and say, hey, man, we ain't trading your ass. Get over it. Hold out. Do whatever you got to do. We ain't trading your ass. Okay, but Myles Garrett, just so we're talking about kind of the same thing, who everybody wants, including myself, was born late December 1995. So that makes Myles Garrett what? Say it with me, boys and girls. That makes him 29. Now, I mentioned Trey Hendrickson. He's 30 already. I understand he's older. I got it. But it's not like we're talking about giving a four-year, $120 million-ish extension to Trey Hendrickson and paying whatever the cost value is in terms of the trade. It's not like one's 26 and one's 31. There's not a huge difference. Is there a difference? Yes. Not a huge difference. One is available. His team granted him the right to seek a trade. One is not available. So for everybody that wants, and then my guy Linnell, God bless his heart, he just keeps saying, Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat's a nice player. Josh Sweat's been up and down, in and out. I mean, it's not like Josh Sweat's been super consistent. And how much of Josh Sweat and his breakout ability in the Super Bowl, and at times with the Eagles, not consistent, in my opinion, how much has Josh Sweat benefited from being around all that great talent? Trey Hendrickson had Sam Hubbard, who just retired after 7 years, and has had no help, for the most part, at interior defensive tackle for the last 2 years. That's why the Bengals fell off. Trey Hendrickson's done it pretty much by himself. Not exactly, but pretty much by himself. You don't think he was double-teamed? You don't think he was the eye of the offense? So, this notion that, oh my God, we can't trade for somebody who's 30 because we have to be in the business of building through the draft or of only making big swings for 26-year-olds. Guess what? Find me the 26-year-old that's as good as Trey Hendrickson, and then we can talk. That's available. Then we can talk. Hell, I'll go one step further. Find me the 29-year-old that's really good. That's better than Trey Hendrickson. That's available. And then we can talk. Now, you tell me I don't want to pay long-term extension. I don't want to pay multiple draft picks. Again, that's a slightly, and not a completely different, that's a slightly different argument. Ultimately, I don't want to pay what I sort of proposed either. What if you told me, hey, man, it would cost me a second this year and a conditional fourth next year, and you gave you have to give him a four-year, $120 million extension? I'd probably do that. I don't want to give away a first-round pick, even though it's in the last part of the first round. I don't want to do that. I can still help myself out in a number of different ways. And oh, by the way, I believe they'll get an edge rusher player in free agency, and then I still think they'll double down and draft one fairly early. First 2 days of the draft. It's a deep class. So anyway, just wanted to lay that out. Let's get to Lou before we change direction here and see what's on Lou's mind. What's up, Lou? How are you?
What's going on, man? I'm good, man. It's not, look, man. Look, Trey Henderson, he's a hell of a player, but he's not a game changer. That's the reason why we
How
not,
is he not a game changer, Lou? He had 17 and a half sacks each of the last
Chris,
2 years.
Man, he doesn't play the like if you're going to spend that kind of money, I mean, you're going to give up all that kind of draft picks, and we need to give that to Myles Garrett. I mean, that's
Lou,
I don't mind
did,
doing
Lou,
that.
Lou, I love you, but did you not listen to what I just said?
I did. He's not available. I get that. I understand that. But for you to tell us, oh, why are we just not giving out first round pick or second, third, whatever, and then pay him another $30 million on top of it? Why would you do that? You might as well go get somebody like the guy from Tennessee Herald. Get somebody like that.
Yes.
Or Josh.
Listen, that very well could be the plan. Adam Peters could say, yeah, I'm not willing to pay trade. And the contract. But you know what? When you are in their position and you have the money to spend and you have a defensive-minded head coach and you have a huge problem at edge, you are more likely to be not desperate, but more likely to be uber-aggressive at that one position. And for you, like, look, dude, Trey Hendrickson, 17 and a half sacks each of the last 2 years. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that. What he could potentially be in this scheme, in this system.
But if he can't play the run and that, you know, all of those sacks, I mean, it's sort of like the same thing with the guy we have.
Let me ask you this.
Fowler.
I like Dante Fowler and as a pass rush too. Okay, but do you really think that Dante Fowler and Trey Hendrickson are the same player?
I'm not saying they're the same player, but he's a little bit lazy. He doesn't play the run or set the edge. But, I mean, we talking about like the way you putting it out there, like we supposed to give up everything for a guy. I mean, look, he's in his 30. I mean, we going to give up something or pay him $30 million. At least he got to be like somebody that could come in and do the, you know, the both. Like, you know, you got to be able to stop the run, set the edge and things like that.
All right. So here's the deal. He's 270 pounds. Okay. He's not 245 pounds. One. As a run defender, just again, giving you data that I don't have and you don't have, he graded, according to PFF, a 65.9 out of 100 as a run defender. And the reason why it was lower is because of tackling. The year before that, a 51.0, so that's a little bit concerning, but a 60.9 tackler. 58.8 the year before that, 60. Nobody is saying Trey Hendrickson is a bull when it comes to stopping the run. It's really hard to be a 17.5 sack guy with very little help around you and stop the run at a great clip as well. Very difficult. So what you are getting with Trey Hendrickson, I think, if you're getting, is a premier pass rusher who you don't have to scheme up a lot of stuff for, number one. A hustle, effort, motor guy, all of that guy. A proven guy, all of that. But on top of that, right, what you're saying is, okay, we understand maybe he lacks a little something in run defense, but here's how we're going to make up for that. We're going to draft a guy at edge that is, or at defensive tackle, that can control the point, the line of scrimmage, and can anchor and free him up schematically so that we're not asking him to do something he's not great at and that he's just okay at or fine or fairly decent. To act like Trey Hendrickson doesn't even try and stop the run, that's not accurate. I mean, it's just not.
But, Chris, don't you think it's a bit too much for you to say, oh, give up the 29 pick, the second round or third round pick, then give him a contract extension on top of the $30 million for somebody? I'd rather go get Joey Bosa for like a year or two.
Okay. Joey Bosa doesn't play. That's the problem there. Harold Landry, I would be into.
Dude, there's a reason why he's a five-time All-Pro. He might have missed a few games here and there.
He missed a lot of games.
But he's a beast. He didn't miss a lot of games because he didn't become a five-time Pro Bowler. So to me, I think he played.
Lou, I went over it yesterday. There were years where he played 16 games, and there were years where he played 4 games. I'm just telling you what it is.
I appreciate you, Chris. I didn't try to make this conversation long, but it's okay. I mean, you like to
get under my skin. You like to, you know.
No, it's not, Chris. But you get on our skin. Like, you talking about give up everything just to get somebody who's
Look, I said it's probably too rich. I came up with the trade proposal and the contract proposal literally while I was on the air. I didn't study it like a contract negotiator would. I mean, I said that. I said, if that's the price, you guys also forget that there's a market. A lot of teams want Trey Hendrickson. Because they all realize that Miles Garrett.
What if he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles?
What if he goes to the Eagles? Then you're going to call up screaming and telling me how much Peters screwed up.
No, I wouldn't. He could go to Philly. I could care less. Trey is good, but at the end of the day, he's not a game changer. You know, all the 17 sacks is just numbers.
Enough. Lou, who's watched one Cincinnati Bengals game in the last 3 years. He's just a numbers guy, not a game changer. He's just out there. He doesn't stop the run. Lou, just admit it. You don't want to pay the tariff, the price that I proposed, that I said could happen, possibly. You don't want to do it. Okay, fine. Don't diminish Trey Hendrickson as a player. I guarantee you, I know Trey Hendrickson way better than Lou. Way better than Lou. I guarantee you, Trey Hendrickson would be a good acquisition for the Commanders. Now, is he worth what you have to give up for him? That's the rub. I don't know what they have to give up for him. I was just proposing something. All right, we'll take a timeout on the Team 980. I got to get to this Charles Barkley sound. I sent it to Chris. Chris cut it up. I got to get to it. Lakers, you know the deal. You probably heard it, but we'll make sure you hear it next on the Team 9. All right, we'll move on from the NFL for now. Plenty more next week. I wanted to get to this. So this became a big boondoggle on social media. Awful announcing, picked it up, what have you. So Charles, like, I watch Cold Pizza every day just to see what they're talking about, which is always the NBA because it's all Stephen A. Smith knows. And Kendrick Perkins is on there a lot. They talk about the Lakers nonstop. So Charles Barkley of TNT inside the NBA last night said this.
I saw a fool idiot on TV talking about the Lakers save the NBA.
Save the NBA?
Yeah, yeah. He's an idiot and a fool, but he know who he is. What's his name, Shaq?
Which one are you talking about?
Kendrick Perkins.
Oh.
He said the Lakers, first of all, the Lakers have had a great 2 weeks. He said the Lakers saved the NBA season. That's because them fools on the other network, which we're going to be working for next year, that's all they talk about. Let me tell y'all something.
Tell me something.
And first of all, I want all the smoke. I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard or anything like that.
I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard.
Right.
I like that.
Hey, man,
I'm stealing that one.
The Lakers are doing great. Got a long way to go. But the reason the season's been going great for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, y'all just want to talk about the Warriors and the Lakers. They're both doing great. Don't get me wrong. If I turn out to be wrong, I got no problem with that. But y'all are idiots because y'all talk about the Lakers and the Warriors all the time. Y'all don't. The Cleveland Cavaliers have won 12 straight games. The Oklahoma City got the MVP and they are on fire. Y'all are talking about who's in second place. That's the reason I get pissed. Hey, the Lakers are doing great. I don't mind being wrong. The Warriors are doing great. But that's because you fools on other networks, which we're going to become fools next year. We'll be working on that network. But Oklahoma City and the Cavs been balling for 6 months. Y'all talking about teams that had two great weeks.
I get what you're saying.
All right, Chris, let's jump in there. We got enough of the gist from Charles. First of all, listen, from a guy who has called people idiots and names that I probably shouldn't be calling, that's the one area that I'm trying to get way, and I believe I've gotten way better at. Charles is too big, too powerful, too influential to be calling Kendrick Perkins an idiot and a fool.
You've gotten better at it on air.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks. But the point being is, Charles and the forum that he has inside the NBA, TNT, they're going to be working with ESPN, next year. He's got too big, he's too influential, too powerful, too Charles, to be calling a fellow analyst, whether it's for show or not, an idiot, a fool, this, that, the other thing. But everything else that Charles said and Charles was getting at is exactly part of the problem. The Lakers made the trade of the year, there's no doubt. You could argue the trade of this century. They deserve a lot of headlines. They deserve a lot of chatter. But even when they sucked, they were still the lead on many NBA conversations. They still were the team that they were taught. Stephen A. Smith lives half the year in Los Angeles. He's constantly out there. Constantly. He does the show for Stephen A. Smith. And ESPN caters to not what's best for the NBA, not what's best for basketball fans overall, but to the team that is the most polarizing. And yes, they're on a super hot streak. Yes, they are fascinating. Yes, I get it. Why? But let's not make the mistake and think that ESPN doesn't do this to do one thing, to get the biggest amount of fans, hits, viewers, ratings, whatever it might be, social media, because everyone cares about the Lakers. Even before the Doncic trade, everyone cares. Everyone has an opinion. That's all they care about. They don't care about the Oklahoma City Thunder. They don't care about, what other team did they mention? The Cleveland Cavaliers. That does nothing for them. Nothing. Nothing. So Charles, again, was right in his premise, wrong in how he kind of delivered it. And Kendrick Perkins obviously was pretty upset. You know, basically called him out and said, you know where to find me. You know, I'm here, da-da-da-da-da. I guess one of the TV talking heads on another network, I forgot his name, Nick Wright, that Linnell loves, was defending Perkins. it's just a bunch of hotheads. You know, who cares what they say? Charles Barkley is the only one that I really care about. Like, everybody got upset about Darren Pang calling Alex Ovechkin a one-trick pony. Please, I there's nothing I could care less about more than that. It completely inconsequential. Who cares? But Charles Barkley shouldn't have called him an idiot and a loser and whatever he said. That's it. All right, wanted you to hear that. Coming up, trending alert, and then we'll wrap up the show. Don't forget, Dum Dum of the Day, still to come right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we'll start with the NHL trade deadline, and we are in the midst of it. The Capitals making a big deal, acquiring Anthony Beauvillier from the Pittsburgh Penguins in exchange for a 2025 second-round pick. Elsewhere, Mikko Rantanen, who earlier this year was traded from Colorado to Carolina, is not staying in Carolina, instead getting traded to Dallas, signing an eight-year extension with an average annual value of about $12 million. So that's close to $100 million overall. Carolina getting two first round picks, two third round picks, and Logan Stankoven in return for the deal. The Caps are back home tonight after the win at MSG on Wednesday night. In overtime, they take on the Detroit Red Wings, who are hunting and poking around for that final playoff spot. You can hear it 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, we mentioned in the NFL, lots of news there, Harold Landry getting released. Of course, people trying to make the connection that Mike Vrabel, the former Tennessee Titans head coach and now the Patriots head coach, will be the number one spot for Landry, the edge pass rusher. Also, Browns owner Jimmy Haslam has reportedly refused to have a face-to-face meeting as requested by Myles Garrett. And of course, the Commanders earlier today made the Bobby Wagner re-signing official and made the release of Jonathan Allen official. And the Nats and the Mets get together spring training ball here on a Friday evening right here on the Team 980. If you missed Jacob Young, Nats starting center fielder, hit the Odyssey Rewind or check out the podcast at theteam980.com. He was on with us at 1:30, and that's what's trending. All right, we wrap it up here on a Friday with this. My guy Bernie in Rockville just texted me. I didn't see this. And it's just coming in. Caps fans, you probably hate this guy. I'm pretty sure you hate this guy. Maybe more than Sidney Crosby. Which you shouldn't hate Sidney Crosby, but whatever. Brad Marchand. No longer with the Boston Bruins, on his way to the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, who earlier this week found out Matthew Tkachuk was going to miss at least the rest of the regular season and maybe even the playoffs. They earlier this week acquired Seth Jones, good defenseman from Chicago. Now getting Brad Marchand. How about that? That's a big deal. I mean, Brad Marchand obviously gives them that toughness back that you don't have with Tkachuk. 21 goals, 26 assists, 47 points. He's been in Boston forever. How about that? How about them apples? Interesting. Don't have the compensation just yet. Still looking for it. But the bottom line is... it hasn't been Boston's year from the start, and Florida still has a two-point lead in the division over Toronto. And Tampa made a few moves, and Tampa's obviously really good. They got a three-point lead over them. Now, Marchand is a little bit banged up, so maybe that lowers the cost of the deal. I didn't realize this. He was, as of... 3 days ago, he was listed officially out and week to week with an upper body injury. As we found out with Marshawn Lattimore, just because guys are injured when teams acquire them does not mean they play right away. So that's something to keep an eye on. But clearly that deal is also made for not only right here and right now, but it's also made for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if Tkachuk comes back, then they're even tougher and grittier. and maybe more loaded for a Stanley Cup run. And if not, essentially, he's not the same body type, but he is a pain-in-the-ass nuisance who can also put the biscuit in the basket. That's an interesting deal for Florida. Okay. All right. Let's get to this. We mentioned the Lakers. They won in overtime last night. The Knicks butchered the clock at the end of regulation. Jalen Brunson got hurt. Ultimately, that derailed. He hung in there with a bad ankle injury. I have no idea when he's going to play again. Hit a couple of free throws, then immediately walked off to the locker room. Lakers ultimately win. Luka, great. Okay, hit a big three, what have you. So Mark Cuban, who? Remember Mark Cuban? I thought he would be like forever in the NBA. No longer the Mavericks owner. He said this about his former team trading Luka Doncic. We're going to hear part of this.
Was your son upset about the trade?
Yeah, I mean.
Were you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course. And I've said this before. If the Mavs are going to trade Luka, that's one thing. Just get a better deal. You know, no disrespect to Anthony Davis, but, you know, get three. If I still firmly believe if we had gotten four unprotected number ones and Anthony Davis and Max Christie, this would be a different conversation.
Would you ever have traded Luka Doncic?
I'm not going to go there. It doesn't even matter. You know,
I mean, I saw you were at the game though in LA, yeah. And I mean that signifies. And I think you dapped up his dad. In
yeah,
the stands.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
Sasha.
So there's got to there's some sort of
well, there was connection just because connection. We traded. Like I still talk to Steve Nash. I mean, I went through this before when Steve Nash left and then won two MVPs.
Yeah,
right. The good news is that we went to the finals and won a championship. So I've been through something, but there wasn't social media back then, so it wasn't quite the same. But yeah, I mean, you're going to make mistakes. And, you know, I think the biggest challenge that the Mavs have right now is there's nobody who's really outgoing to communicate. And it's not so much what you do, it's how you communicate why you do what you do. What makes sports different than every other industry, you know, Google has, Texas Instruments has a record quarter. Nobody throws a parade. And when you win, if fans are passionate enough to show up in 100-degree weather and line the streets, then you've got to expect when things don't go the way they want, yeah, they're going to be just as passionate in response.
All right, shut it down, Chris. We got the gist of it. Great job. Appreciate you cutting that up. Right there in a nutshell. Now, I said he's no longer the owner. He is. He's got a 27% stake. He sold the majority stake, the controlling interest stake, last year. He says his involvement with the Mavericks is no longer a factor in any team decisions. You just heard him being asked, hey, would you have traded Luka? I'm not going there. It doesn't matter. They did it. Didn't sound like he had a major problem with trading Luka Doncic. The problem was, and he's right, the return. Like, when the deal first came out late on that Saturday night, I said, you know, immediately people were like, oh, the Mavericks are upset because Luka Doncic isn't right. He's not. Did they ever, like, bother to look at Anthony Davis' track record? Anthony Davis, good player. Very good player. He's hurt a lot. He literally played, what, 21 minutes in his first game? He was injured when they traded for him. He finally made his debut like a week and a half later, and he got injured. And he's out for weeks.
Everyone knew
when they traded for Anthony Davis because they, as they hinted and as they said and as they leaked, Luka was out of shape, Luka was partying too hard, Luka was injured, Luka was not coming back when he should, he wasn't working as hard, ba-da-da-da-da-da. All of that can be true. But the player you acquired is always hurt. Always might be a stretch. But honestly, like, what am I missing? What am I missing? Anthony Davis, okay, again, played one game, less than one game. He played 31 minutes, not 21 minutes. Then he got hurt. And he was very good in that game. But last year, he played 42 games for the Lakers. The year before that, 76. That's about as good as it's going to get. The year before that, 56 games. The year before that, 40 games. Now, I think that was in the COVID shortened year, or maybe it was the year before that was the COVID shortened year, 36 games. 62 games in 2019-2020, that was pre-COVID. 56 games, final year in New Orleans. 75-75, again, pretty good. 61-68, like Anthony Davis misses 14-15 games with a snap of a finger every year, if not more. So Cuban's point, which is right, is, hey man, if you're going to trade Luka Doncic and piss off and alienate your fan base, fine. But get something legitimately, like, franchise changing, short term and long term. And they didn't get anywhere near what they could have gotten. Everyone knew Anthony Davis and Max Christie weren't enough. Everyone knew that. But they wanted rid of Luka Doncic so bad. And I'm sure they have good reasons and stuff that hasn't even come out. I'm sure. But when you watch Luka Doncic play and you see the impact he had for you and already with the Lakers, if you're Nico Harris and the general manager, and then you've seen what's happened to the team since, and Kyrie Irving, ACL, and Daniel Gafford, and so on and so forth, I don't know how you sleep at night. Because you traded a generational superstar and you got a very good player who's oft injured back in return. You didn't set up your franchise for the future. You didn't. As a matter of fact, you thought you were getting a better answer now, and then you'll worry about the future later, which to some degree makes sense with Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson, but the point being is...
But you know Kyrie is injured now, too,
well,
right?
Well, yeah, oh, yeah.
To add insult to injury.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't know that when he made the deal.
No,
But
no.
The plan was, oh, I'm going to get a better solution now because Luke has taken too long to come back from the calf, and he's always hurt, and he's not in great shape, and he might be too much, and all of that stuff. And then... But again, he did not get a future to stock the cupboards, or he did not get a trade to stock the cupboards for now and for the future. When you trade a, what's Luka, 26? Generational superstar. Whatever. I mean, thank goodness that's the Dallas Mavericks and not the Washington Wizards. When we return, Matty Ice, our former producer, has come up with a dum-dum of the day option. And it's food related. We're going to ask Metal Chris if he would be in on this terrible, terrible idea down south. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I always know when Metal Chris is around, we're going to get this to lead us in. And here's how we do it. All right, Matty found this. Matty Ice, that is. So thank him for this. The Miami Hurricanes baseball team, they play baseball at this place called Mark Light Field near the campus in Coral Gables. Well, apparently they have a concession stand called Mark Light Shakes, named after the field. And, you know, they have all sorts of ice cream shakes and whatever. Typical, like South Florida. Okay, it's hot. But they're known for their unique shakes. Chris, do you know what shake they came up with this week?
I have no idea. What kind?
A Philly cheesesteak milkshake.
So what, it's a savory milkshake.
Yeah, to say the least. What might you ask? The shake contains vanilla ice cream, vanilla syrup, and a mini cheesesteak sandwich on top to complete the milkshake.
It's like a garnish kind of thing. It's not like in the shake.
No. It's on top. Like, it's actually in the shake. I'm looking at a picture that Darren Rovell put up. It's actually in the shake, and it's got a big chunk of cheese and meat and bread in the vanilla ice cream and the vanilla in a shake. People?
Does it have mushrooms and peppers?
That I don't
see. And onions?
That I don't see. People, stop being dumbasses. Just stop. Please just stop. Please. All right. Craig Hoffman is not a dumbass. He's coming up next. Nationals, Mets, 6 o'clock after Craig. A two-hour show. Don't forget our conversation with Jacob Young. Available for you via podcast at theteam980.com. Have a great weekend. Thanks to Metal Chris. We'll see you back here on Monday at 1 o'clock. Craig's next. Adios.